Picture this. Elijah is a 19-year-old college sophomore spending his summer working for a local landscaping company. After 5 hours of hard physical work installing outdoor shrubbery and plants on your medical campus, he finally takes a break. Upon arising from the kneeling position, he becomes extremely lightheaded and has a near syncopal episode. You were walking by on your way from clinic to the hospital, and you stop to examine him. He is alert and oriented. Blood pressure is 128 over 68 millimeters of mercury. On cardiac exam, you hear a 2 out of 6 systolic murmur at the left sternal border that does not radiate to the carotids. Bear down and grip your abdominal muscles, you tell him. How do you expect Elijah's murmur to change with this Valsalva maneuver? What other maneuvers would be helpful in confirming the suspected diagnosis? Welcome to Audio Bricks. I'm Laurel Toft, bringing cardiology from our bricks to your ears. After completing this section, you will be able to 1. Explain how to distinguish between the various types of valve disorders. 2. Describe the hemodynamic characteristics, timing, associated findings, and differential diagnosis of systolic murmurs. 3. Describe the hemodynamic characteristics, timing, associated findings, and differential diagnosis of diastolic murmurs. And 4. Do the same for continuous murmurs. Part 1. What are the common valvular disorders? Patients don't come to you with a disease stamped on their chest, but rather with a story and a characteristic set of signs and symptoms. In valvular heart disease, it's your job to piece these clues together to make a diagnosis. Even in the era of echocardiography to visualize valve disease, you still have to be able to hear the murmur, put together the signs and symptoms, and determine which patients need further evaluation with an echocardiogram or other testing. One way to sort the common valve disorders is by the type of murmur, systolic, diastolic, or continuous, along with the location within the heart. Left-sided systolic murmurs can only be mitral regurgitation or aortic stenosis. Right-sided systolic murmurs, similarly, are either tricuspid regurgitation or pulmonic stenosis. Left-sided diastolic murmurs are either mitral stenosis or aortic regurgitation, and then right-sided diastolic murmurs are either tricuspid stenosis or pulmonary regurgitation. And finally, a continuous murmur almost always means a patent ductus arteriosus, PDA. Listening for heart murmurs is often the first way we know that someone has a valve disease. Although many patients with valve lesions seen on echocardiography have no detectable murmur, the physical exam is still a great place to start. The 5 auscultation areas represent the best locations to hear the opening and closing of each valve. You can remember the murmur auscultation areas with the mnemonic APT-ME, apartment me is how I think of it, starting at the patient's top right and moving clockwise. A for the aortic area in the right second intercostal space. P for pulmonic area in the left second intercostal space. T for tricuspid at the left lower sternal border in the fourth intercostal space. M for mitral at the apex in the left fifth intercostal space. And E for Erb's point at the center of the heart, the left third intercostal space. Now, some of those auscultation areas may seem counterintuitive. For example, if the aortic valve is on the left side of the heart, why is the listening area on the right side of the sternum? Well, it helps to remember that the orientation of the heart inside the chest cavity is rotated somewhat leftward, so the area you are listening in actually represents the direction that blood is being ejected through the aortic valve, from the left and toward the right side of the sternum. Now, after identifying a murmur, you will need to assign a grade to it. Don't worry, this is not just the pass-fail scenario of medical school. Systolic murmurs are graded on a scale of 1 to 6. Grade 1 is barely audible, even to the most experienced clinician. Grade 2 is very soft, but audible. Grade 3 is easily audible, and the grade of most routinely heard murmurs. Grade 4 is easily audible and associated with a thrill, meaning you can feel the turbulent vibrations of the murmur when you place your hand on the patient's chest. Don't make the mistake of calling a loud 3 a grade 4. You have to feel the thrill. Grade 5 can be heard with the stethoscope only lightly on the chest, and grade 6 can be heard when the stethoscope is off the chest. Most physicians will then grade diastolic murmurs on a scale of 1 to 4 without any reference to a thrill. Because murmurs can sound similar, various maneuvers can change the body's physiology to either accentuate or diminish the murmur intensity, or grade, and make them easier to distinguish. So let's start with two maneuvers that have the same effect: rapid standing and Valsalva, meaning straining with abdominal muscles. These maneuvers decrease preload, either by draining blood into the legs or by increasing abdominal pressure, which prevents venous return from reaching the heart. Decreased preload decreases the volume of blood in the left ventricle. Most murmurs will get quieter because of the decreased flow. However, the most important murmur that gets louder with Valsalva is the murmur of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, also known as HOCM, H-O-C-M. This is a highly testable point, and how you distinguish the murmur of HOCM from aortic stenosis. Next, the maneuver that increases preload is passive leg raise. Think of draining the blood out of the legs into the heart. This is the opposite of Valsalva, so most murmurs will get louder with this maneuver, except, that's right, HOCM. Now, for a maneuver that deals with afterload, hand grip will increase afterload and thereby cause reverse flow through the aortic valve and increase left ventricular volume. Most left-sided murmurs will get louder with increased afterload because of the increased LV volume, murmurs like mitral regurgitation, aortic regurgitation, and ventricular septal defect. However, once again, the murmur of HOCM will decrease in intensity. And finally, deep inspiration will increase venous return, preload, specifically to the right side of the heart. And because the volume in the right side of the heart increases, the volume in the left side of the heart will slightly decrease. Therefore, right-sided murmurs will increase in intensity with inspiration, and most left-sided murmurs will slightly decrease in intensity. All right, let's see if you got that. How does squatting help with identifying murmurs? Squatting increases venous return, preload, and afterload. This increases the intensity of most murmurs. Part 2. What are the common systolic murmurs? Several valvular disorders may produce a systolic murmur: aortic stenosis, mitral regurgitation, tricuspid regurgitation, pulmonary stenosis, and mitral valve prolapse. Ventricular septal defects, VSD, produce a holosystolic murmur, which is louder in small VSDs than in large ones. The way to recall if a murmur is systolic or diastolic is to remember that the atrioventricular AV valves, mitral and tricuspid, close during systole. So, regurgitation would produce a murmur during systole. While the semilunar valves, aortic and pulmonary, open during systole, so stenosis would produce a systolic murmur. All right, time for another quick quiz. How can we remember whether a murmur is systolic or diastolic? Atrioventricular valves, the mitral and tricuspid, close during systole, so regurgitation in these valves produces a systolic murmur. The semilunar valves, aortic and pulmonary, open during systole, so stenosis produces a systolic murmur. Now, for each valve disorder, we will describe the murmur, associated physical exam findings, and for some, we'll discuss the differential diagnosis for lesions that cause a similar murmur. Let's start with aortic stenosis. Aortic stenosis is mostly seen in older patients and is due to calcification of the valve. It causes a harsh crescendo-decrescendo ejection murmur at the right upper sternal border that radiates to the carotids. The S2 sound is diminished or absent in severe AS. Pulsus parvus et tardus is a peripheral pulse that is weak and delayed. The delayed pulse results from obstructed blood flow through a narrowed aortic valve. The murmur of AS may be confused with three other diagnoses. First, there's something called a flow murmur, usually noted as a mid-systolic murmur, but which lacks the crescendo-decrescendo of the AS murmur. Flow murmurs are the result of increased cardiac output, commonly in pregnancy and childhood, and usually are asymptomatic. Second, idiopathic hypertrophic subaortic stenosis results in a murmur and physiology that are nearly identical to AS. However, the cause of the obstruction to flow in this case is that the interventricular septum and the muscle wall of the LV become so enlarged that they partially block the passage of blood through the aortic valve. And finally, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, HOCM, H-O-C-M or HCM, may have a crescendo-decrescendo systolic murmur just like an AS. Physical exam maneuvers, especially Valsalva, can be used to distinguish HOCM from AS. Quiz time! What does aortic stenosis sound like? AS sounds like a harsh crescendo-decrescendo murmur after S1 and before S2 that radiates to the carotids. Next up, mitral regurgitation. Mitral regurgitation, MR, can be acute, for example, after myocardial infarction, or chronic. The latter is usually due to degenerative myxomatous change or ventricular dilation. The murmur of MR is a holosystolic, continuous blowing, high-pitched murmur. Best heard at the apex of the heart, over the fifth intercostal space at the mid-clavicular line, and typically radiates to the axilla. Associated findings include elevated jugular venous pulse without volume overload necessarily. Mitral valve prolapse is a common cause of MR. Prolapse refers to the backward ballooning of an abnormal valve. MR occurs when a prolapsing valve allows blood to leak back into the left atrium. Only then might we hear anything by auscultation. Now for tricuspid regurgitation. Tricuspid regurgitation is mostly seen in infective endocarditis, which is often due to injection drug use. This murmur is a holosystolic murmur. Heard at the tricuspid area at the left middle or lower sternal border. Some patients with severe TR may develop hepatic pulsations and hepatomegaly later in the course of the disease due to the reflux of blood from the right side of the heart through the wide-open tricuspid valve. Next up, pulmonary stenosis. This is an uncommon disorder in adults, but may be heard in children since it's usually congenital. It occurs either on its own or as part of a syndrome, commonly the congenital syndrome's tetralogy of Fallot and Noonan syndrome. In adults, it's associated with carcinoid syndrome. The murmur is a harsh crescendo-decrescendo ejection-type murmur, located in the pulmonic area at the second intercostal space next to the sternum. Heart sounds may reveal a normal S1 with a split S2 and a delayed P2. This murmur does not radiate, unlike some of the others. Common causes of a similar murmur include aortic stenosis and mitral and tricuspid regurgitation, although remember, those are holosystolic, not crescendo-decrescendo. Now last up for systolic murmurs, ventricular septal defect, VSD. Although VSDs are frequently isolated, they can be associated with other congenital heart diseases like atrial septal defects, patent ductus arteriosus, or pulmonary stenosis. The murmur is again a holosystolic murmur, heard at the left lower sternal border with radiation to the right lower sternal border. Patients with a significant VSD can present with right-sided heart failure in early childhood, ages 2 to 5. When the flow reverses from right to left, the condition leads to Eisenmenger syndrome, meaning right-to-left shunting, and late-onset cyanosis. Sometimes the murmur of VSD may be confused with atrial septal defect, ASD. However, the murmur of ASD produces a flow murmur through the pulmonary artery and is distinguished by the characteristic wide, fixed, split S2 at the upper left sternal border. This is not necessarily present in VSD. Part 3. What are the common diastolic murmurs? Four primary valvular disorders may produce a diastolic murmur: aortic regurgitation, mitral stenosis, pulmonary regurgitation, and tricuspid stenosis. We'll focus on aortic regurgitation and mitral stenosis since they are the most common. Remember, the way to determine that a murmur is diastolic is that the AV valves, mitral and tricuspid, are open during diastole, so stenosis produces a diastolic murmur, while the semilunar valves, aortic and pulmonary, close during diastole, so regurgitation produces a murmur. First up, aortic regurgitation. AR, also known as aortic insufficiency, may occur acutely because of aortic dissection, trauma, or endocarditis, and chronically because of leaflet calcification or aortic root dilation. The murmur is described as a soft, blowing, high-pitched decrescendo diastolic murmur. Located at Erb's point over the third or fourth intercostal space to the left of the sternum. In AR, the leakage of the blood back into the ventricle during diastole lowers the diastolic arterial blood pressure, causing a wide pulse pressure, meaning a wide difference between systolic and diastolic pressures. The wide pulse pressure leads to a characteristic bounding pulse called water hammer. This term describes a sudden increase in pressure when a fluid wave that is traveling down a pipe must change direction, usually because a valve suddenly closes. So a water hammer pulse describes a forceful pulse, which is due to the heart pumping with more force with every beat in AR. You can appreciate a water hammer pulse by feeling a strong radial pulse at the wrist. Quiz time! What valve lesion causes bounding pulses? Aortic regurgitation has a characteristic bounding water hammer pulse. Next up, mitral stenosis. Mitral stenosis, MS, is now thankfully uncommon in developed countries, as it is usually due to rheumatic heart disease after untreated childhood streptococcal infection. Untreated streptococcal infection is more common in developing countries where medical care is limited. The murmur of MS is a mid-diastolic, rumbling, low-pitched murmur. Heard in the mitral area over the fifth intercostal space at the midclavicular line. The heart sounds for MS are classically a loud S1 and an opening snap after S2 from the stiff leaflets crackling open. MS typically causes respiratory symptoms such as dyspnea on exertion and pulmonary edema. An enlarged left atrium can be seen on chest X-ray. Patients with mitral stenosis may also have hoarseness as the dilated left atrium compresses the left recurrent laryngeal nerve, leading to Ortner syndrome. Because of low cardiac output and pulmonary hypertension, the patient can also develop a classic malar flush. This is consequent to cutaneous vasodilation and chronic hypoxemia. Time for another knowledge check. What does the mitral stenosis murmur sound like? The mitral stenosis murmur sounds like an opening snap followed by a mid-diastolic, low-pitched rumble. Now, let's briefly discuss pulmonary regurgitation. Pulmonary regurgitation, PR, is uncommon, but may be caused by procedures on the pulmonary valve, pulmonary hypertension, or infective endocarditis. The murmur of PR is a high-pitched, early decrescendo murmur at Erb's point at the left third or fourth intercostal space. And last up for diastolic murmurs, tricuspid stenosis. Tricuspid stenosis is usually seen as part of congenital heart disease. The murmur is rarely heard, but if present, it is a mid-diastolic rumble over the tricuspid area at the left lower sternal border. The visible sign in patients with tricuspid stenosis is a giant flickering A wave with a gradual Y descent and jugular venous distension that increases with inspiration, called Kussmaul sign. The patient may also develop congestive hepatomegaly and peripheral edema. The patient may have concurrent rheumatic fever and mitral stenosis. Okay, let's pause again to check your knowledge. How does respiration help distinguish between right and left-sided murmurs? In general, inspiration increases the intensity of right-sided murmurs. Part 4. What is the continuous murmur? A continuous murmur spans both the systolic and diastolic phases of the cardiac cycle. The classic example is PDA, patent ductus arteriosus. The murmur in PDA is continuous because there's no valve involved. Now, which direction do you think blood will flow across the PDA? Well, we know blood flows from higher to lower pressures, so we can expect blood to flow from the aorta to the pulmonary artery. Because flow is constant from the aorta to the pulmonary artery, the PDA murmur is described as a continuous machine-like humming murmur. That is audible below the clavicle and radiates to the back. As this condition presents classically in premature neonates, they may have associated respiratory distress, or they could be asymptomatic. If left untreated, PDA may lead to left heart enlargement, pulmonary artery hypertension, and ultimately Eisenmenger syndrome. And that's it for valvular disease. Let's check your knowledge and see what we've learned today. First, how are systolic murmurs graded? Systolic murmurs are graded on a scale of 1 to 6. How does Valsalva maneuver change physiology and help to distinguish one murmur from another? The Valsalva maneuver decreases preload by increasing abdominal pressure. This classically distinguishes between the murmur of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, which will get louder with Valsalva, compared to aortic stenosis, which gets softer with Valsalva. When in the cardiac cycle do systolic murmurs occur? And what about diastolic? Systolic murmurs occur between the S1 and S2 sounds. Diastolic murmurs occur after the S2 sound and before the next S1. Next, can you name 3 systolic murmurs? Systolic murmurs include aortic stenosis, mitral regurgitation, pulmonary stenosis, and tricuspid regurgitation. And can you name 3 diastolic murmurs? Diastolic murmurs include aortic regurgitation, mitral stenosis, pulmonary regurgitation, and tricuspid stenosis. And finally, can you describe the murmur of aortic stenosis? Aortic stenosis causes a crescendo-decrescendo systolic murmur heard best at the aortic area, the right upper sternal border at the second intercostal space. And we're done! Armed with your newfound knowledge, let's think back to your patient with syncope and a murmur. As you are examining Elijah, you ask him to perform the Valsalva maneuver, and you notice... that the murmur increases in intensity. This differentiates his murmur from aortic stenosis, which would decrease with Valsalva. You suspect he has hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, a condition in which the muscle in the ventricular septum becomes thicker than normal and impedes blood flow through the LV outflow tract. Any maneuver that increases preload, like squatting or passive leg raising, will increase the fluid going through the dynamic obstruction, thereby decreasing the degree of obstruction and lessening the murmur's intensity. You confirm that the murmur decreases with squatting and passive leg raise. You tell Elijah that you suspect HOCM and offer to schedule him to see a cardiologist ASAP. And that's our show. Make sure to like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts if you like what you heard. Remember, your feedback helps us improve. Until next time, friends.